Good morning, everybody. Well, I was doing Bible study with Kat last night. One of the things that kind of got brought back up is I remember Davey was talking about how do we humble ourselves unto the Lord. And he was mentioning the part in Psalm 51 where he said, you know, where David says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Recognizing why was murder a sin? Well, murder is a sin is because man is made after the image of God. And when you kill a man, you're destroying the image of God. And he brought in the point of how do we humble ourselves unto the Lord? Well, we humble ourselves to one another. And I was thinking about that, and one of the things that I thought about was in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, which I want to go into. And I guess before I start in Corinthians 12, I mean, when Jesus came down off his throne, what did he come to do? He came to do the Father's will. That's what he came to do. And as a body, that's what we are to do. Amen? But I want to talk in the differences that there's not one person here that makes the body. It's all of us. Amen? And I want to start, I guess, Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part with which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And when I look at the body, I also look at an army. What does it say? The Lord of hosts. And that there should be, you know, what did Jesus say? He said that they will know you're my disciples for your what? Love one for another. And I look at where Jesus says in chapter 14 of John, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And further down, I think in 14 or 15, I'm not sure where it is, he says, and greater love than this that a man, no greater love than this that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Amen. But I wanted to highlight that point today. Because if we're not operating in the same mind and in the same spirit, how are we even operating as a body? How can we even start to even go forward in what the Lord has us to do? We won't. It's like we're an army behind enemy lines that are just bickering and biting one another, and there's no order, and there's no orders going out. We're going to lose that battle pretty quickly, wouldn't we? But man, if we're listening to the same spirit and of the same mind and operating the way that the Lord has set it up, we can really start taking over some enemy ground, couldn't we? Then I thought about this this morning, and I was reading about this, and I want us to examine with our own selves, each one of us, and I challenge every single one of us to find out what your place in the body is. And what is that that the Lord would have you do and be a part of? And what are we pointing at? Who are we pointing to? Are we pointing to ourselves? Or are we pointing to Jesus Christ? Because of ourselves, we can do nothing. I mean, if you look at our testimony is not of one that, oh man, we did some great, glorious thing. No, our one is that, man, I fell flat on my face and I cried out to my Lord Jesus Christ and He saved me. Amen? And we're fooling ourselves if we cannot humble ourselves one to another and submit unto the Lord in the way that He would have us submit unto and to one another. We're fooling ourselves if we think we're actually humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord. It says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. I know if one part of the body is struggling and somebody's struggling with something, what do we do about it? Do we love that person enough to either tell them the truth, point them to the Lord and say, shake off that unbelief, because we all get ourselves into it. But or do we sit back and judge that person for not walking in belief, knowing ourselves do the same thing? You know, look at what Jesus did. He came down off His throne to do what? Serve. I didn't forget about what you said, Angie. He came to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Heck, remember the example that He gave them? He washed their feet. And then ultimately, He went to the cross and laid down His life. The Lord's asking us to do the same thing. But if we cannot do that, if we're still hanging on to our own life and hanging on to our own mind and hanging on about pleasing ourselves, we're kidding ourselves if we're even part of the body. You know, obedience is an important thing. You know, how many of us, I mean, how long would you keep if you were a boss of a, let's say if you were, you owned a business. How long would you put up with somebody that every time you went to go and tell him to do a thing, he questioned why? Paul wasn't talking about you right there, buddy. He questioned why. Or he went and did his own thing because he thought what he knew was better. And you go to him after you told him to go do such and such, and they did something completely different. It messed everything up. It was an interesting thing. Saturday was kind of a rough day for me. Here I had three new guys, only four solid guys on the floor, and one just didn't care. So, I mean, I got really three solid guys on the floor, and I'm running from one area to another, trying to cover ground, and it was a stressful thing for me. It was hard to do. Praise the Lord, we walked out of there with 100-plus tires, and we got through the day, but I know that was only by His grace and mercy. And somehow we managed to keep the customers happy. But once again, that was not of my own doing or the shop's doing. No, that was Jesus' grace covering us. Amen. But it was a stressful thing. I told one team, I want you to do such and such and operate like such and such. Yes, sir. Gotcha. Got it, Phil. That's what we're going to do. Cool. Come back 20 minutes later. I just told you guys I don't want you to operate like that. I want you to operate like such and such and such and such. And that way it goes smoother. Do you understand? Yes, sir, Phil. Yeah, yeah. We got it. Yeah. We understand. Come back 20 minutes later. Guys, what's going on? I told y'all to operate like such and such and such and such. And you wouldn't start having these problems. And then here comes the bickering. Ah, Phil, I don't care. You're not doing what I told you to do. Now start doing it. And I had to get down there. And granted, there were some glitches in there. And I had to go down there and organize it and work beside the guys. And praise God, they caught on and they got going with it. But you can just see the operation when they were not obedient, how it caused such a ripple effect through the whole shop. And I look in the mirror, and this message is to you is just as much for me, and I look in the mirror and I go, Lord's going, well, Phil, yeah, I mean, if you were obedient, things would go a lot different. A lot smoother. But praise the Lord. Lord had mercy yet on us once again. But it's an important. I don't want to become a body. I don't want to be that ground that becomes unfruitful. Some of the seed fell on good ground, which brought forth much fruit. I want us to be that good ground. And that's where we start. And the Lord is good. He has provided us disciples. He's provided us brothers and sisters in the Lord, parents in the Lord. We have no excuse not to follow after that which He has set us forth. And the most important one is He destroyed this old carnal man up there on the cross. And then didn't leave us without anybody. No, He gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So yet we have no excuse to not walk forward in that which the Lord has us to walk forward in. Delivered us from captivity of this old man, destroyed the old man, and gave us His power. And if we don't go and walk in that, there's nobody's fault but our own. And He's good. And if we yet but just choose Him and say, "Yes, Lord, not my will be done, but Yours." Watch Him do that exceedingly we abundant, we can ask or think. And we have that testimony. Just as the children of Israel did. They had the testimony of the enemy them being delivered out of bondage. And the enemy being destroyed. And God's power had met them. They didn't grab a hold to the promised land because of unbelief. Let's not be like them. That's an example that we can walk out in faith like Abraham and believe on Jesus, where Abraham believed God to the point he obeyed God. And the Lord met him and provided a lamb. And that lamb was Jesus. And the Lord met us and provided us a lamb. And set us free. Let's walk in that freedom. Let's walk in that love He's provided for us. And the grace and the mercy that He has. Not for just us only. But it's important for us to walk in it for those that don't know Him. That they may have the same opportunity as we did. Amen.
So we're an army and we're going to love you to death. Harkens back to a tender little Alice Cooper song of 1970s, but I won't go there. Yeah, I'm sure you did. I have it. I have that external drive with all that music on it. I was sitting there, you know, I was reading in Mark this morning, and when Philip went where he went, it kind of added probably, I don't know, 15 more points to what I want to talk about. But the one of the most interesting things here is, you know, the greatness of John 14, 15, and 16, 17, and all the rest of John. In John 15, 14, he says, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command." I was thinking back as a kid. What was the constant back and forth between me and my parents. Me and my grandmother was the earliest going on, back and forth. Tell me to do a thing, I go, why? What was the answer? Because I said so. You know what? When you can choose to agree with that, then you've got the key to friendship with the Lord. When because I said so is good enough. Because then you have made it all about Him and not all about you. In fact, you won't get to the why. You trust Him for that. Now I was reading in Mark 11. Go back there. This is one of those pivotal points in the ministry of Jesus here. When He comes into Jerusalem on the donkey, on the ass, he does some stuff. He sees a fig tree, and the fig tree doesn't have any figs on it. Did you lose Mark 11 or what? This just looks like there's an awful lot of communications going on back there. He curses a fig tree. Jesus does. And then He goes into the temple and starts clearing out the money changers and the vendors and overturning the tables. In fact, you know, He didn't even let them take out their they're trying to carry stuff out. I suppose the various vessels that held the stuff, some of the liquids and stuff they were selling, He wouldn't let them do that. He said, is it not written, my house should be called a house, my house should be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves? Were they thieves just because they were selling that stuff in there? No. They weren't selling people the amounts and the quantities and the... they were ripping them off, is what they were doing. And they were doing it under the auspices of the Pharisees. In other words, this was particularly good merchandise that was blessed of God because they were allowing it to be sold here in the temple. We recognize that con from today's. They still do that kind of stuff today all over the world. But all of that's kind of really a precursor to the next morning. As they go out, Peter sees that fig tree and it's dried up from the root. Now that impresses Peter. Verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which curseth is withered away. I have to tell you, I'm probably right there with Peter. That would be pretty impressive. But Jesus' answer is what gets my attention today. Jesus' answer is, have faith in God. Because, you know, when you're able to do this with faith, and when you're able to walk around with faith placed in the right thing, then this is not all that spectacular an occurrence. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Why did I put about three extra syllables in that? Whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You haven't prayed for anything and known you were going to receive it? That's powerful prayer when you can actually do that. And it starts with an understanding of what kind of character and nature is our Heavenly Father. You know, guys, what are you like as a father? You like to give things to your children when they ask you for them? Or you like to hold it, dangle it in front of them and tell them, nah, 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 and walk away? They learn after a while that if you're not serious about giving them that thing, they get frustrated and despairing of it, and then they don't have any interest in it anymore. They have an interest in what they can get for themselves. That's really what we learn from our parents in the world, if they're not of the Lord. But, you know, as Jesus said, if ye being evil know how to give good things to your children, you know, watch the Heavenly Father work. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And the truth of the matter is, that stuff about, there's two things at work here. One is doing the works of God and receiving from God. Now, if you fancy yourself doing his works, then you need to first to have received. And the only way you can count on being, having that connection working, is remember that forgiveness, unforgiveness, and unbelief disconnect you from the body. If you, the most amazing thing that was done here in this passage is you receive forgiveness from the Father through Jesus Christ. That was his work. That was the game changer. You should likewise extend that forgiveness, grace and mercy. The more you extend it, the more you receive. The more you receive, the stronger tie between you and the Father, the stronger your faith becomes. The more trusting you are in the believing you receive what you ask. And more familiar, the more knowing of the Father you become. And knowing, you understand how he responds to these requests. So you when you ask, you know. You don't walk away from a prayer and go, well, I hope. You walk away knowing. So we go, this takes me, the unbelief and unforgiveness part, takes me among other places, down to the floor, pick up that paper, takes me to Colossians. Small book and all that, but I know it's hidden in here somewhere. I know it was hidden in there because I marked it, and the mark was still in there. For the purposes of my point in here, let's go back to how far up in this. Here's the process. Here's the operation of the gospel. This is what gave you access to the body. Forgiveness for your sins. And the power of God to work in your life. To give you the ability to do the works of God. Gosh, I'm going to end up having to go back up to my entry verse. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For if you're dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the end point of the gospel. You go dead with Him. You rise to new life in Him. If you're dead with Him, your sin got nailed to the cross in Jesus Christ. You are dead and hid in Him. That makes all the rest of this stuff, that's the easy stuff. All the rest of this stuff's the easy stuff, because that was the one you couldn't get over. You could confess you're a sinner, but all you could do then is die. You still couldn't cover the sin. Jesus was the only thing that could pay that price. When Christ, who is our life, the only reason I have life today, Jesus Christ. I have the opportunity to, at least as part of the body, have Him live through me. Here and now. How great is that? We get to be partakers of the heavenly nature in all its aspects. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Here's a promise. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. All of that is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. But not anymore. But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, all of which are filthy communications, lead to filthy communications. They're the root of all that is filthy communications. You kill people. You commit murder by getting angry at them murder swells up in your mind. I could just crush them like a bug. Anybody in here ever thought that? That's how it works, isn't it? When you lived in them. But now, you put off all these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. And now, since you've put off all this stuff and you're putting on Jesus Christ, this is how this works. And this is when you get connected into the body. When you get up every morning and have to put on Jesus Christ. Because that old dead, stinky carcass, otherwise, is going to rule. And we don't rule the carcass, it'll rule us. That's just the way that works. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, in the same ways, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These are characteristics of who? Jesus. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. This is that forgiveness thing that Jesus was talking about in Mark 11. And he talks about in Matthew 6:14. It's that same thing. If you want forgiveness, you can forgive others. You don't get to hang on to that stuff. I remember my mother as a child. She used to convince me that she could remember that she had the moment and the detail down perfectly of everything my father had ever done wrong. Stuff that, you know, if he wanted to remember, it's too old, too long ago. It's just, you know, what's the point? Fortunately, he wasn't that troll. His memory was gone. He didn't care. So she thought, you know, she was obliged to remember it for him. And she did. But. Huh? It's amazing. It's that brings us back around to unforgiveness and unbelief. They're killers. And you have to put them off. Put them off. And if you just succeed in putting them off, then the only obligations you have is to access the promise of Jesus Christ. You put him on every morning. Or if you're somebody on a skewed out schedule, when you wake up, your entrance is granted into the body. Your friendship with him is sealed by doing what he commands. And what are his commandments that he says aren't grievesome? He calls it both an old and a new commandment. It's the same deal that's been going since the Garden of Eden. And it's new because now we can see it operate in our lives. We are on the other side of the resurrection. The power is at work and available to us all. All you got to do is, like Jesus said in 11, have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Just one little point. Remember, when you're holding on to those anger, wrath, that unforgiveness towards others, you're sinning against the Lord. I mean, when you're treating others with that, you're sinning against the Lord. Doing that to Him. Just wanted to make that. Sometimes manifests in behavior. Paul's saying sometimes other people are not going to notice it, but it's hidden in your heart. But yet, if you love one another, you're loving the Lord.